Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth, in which we begin the penultimate chapter of the book of Luke. That's such a cool word, penultimate. It means second to last. So we're in chapter 23 of this great account of Jesus' life, carefully crafted, obviously the Holy Spirit giving the words, but Luke giving us this history, this defense of the life, the ministry, the identity of the Lord Jesus. And we're in chapter 23 and verse 1, where the Bible says, the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. So last episode, Josh, we left Jesus being indicted for blasphemy by the high priest and the Sanhedrin council and the Jewish leadership.
Yeah, and now that whole group of people are the ones that gather him and take him over to Pilate, to
the temple guards, all this big crowd of people.
Yeah, it was a show,
a circus.
And now they're going to bring him before Pilate to make the other claims. They found, we talked about it in the last episode, you know, they found blasphemy coming out of Jesus. And so they said, okay, you've got it. You've said it. So now we can take you. And now they're going to make these other claims to Pilate about what Jesus had been doing.
I probably shouldn't say this because I'm not.
See that going on in your mind
I'm not going to be political here, but what I picture, like the House leadership taking the articles of impeachment and ceremoniously walking over to the Senate, taking this big moral high ground.
Yes.
You know, again, whether or not Donald Trump should have been impeached or not, I'm not going down that road with you listeners.
Right.
But that's what I picture in great pomp and circumstance. You know, we are taking the moral high ground.
We're doing the right thing.
So I just picture these guys that way.
Yeah.
And again, folks, that's not me indicting your congressional leader. I'm just saying that's what I picture. So give me a little bit of latitude here. Verse 2 of chapter 23, the Bible says, and they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation. Huh. Isn't it interesting? They never talked about that in their trial.
Right.
They didn't accuse Jesus of being a political insurrectionist, but when they come to Pilate, they're not talking about theological issues. They're not talking about the Son of God or the identity of the Son of David or any of that. They're saying, we found this guy perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. So think about the three fold indictment right there. He's causing trouble in the Roman government. He's forbidding people, he's encouraging people not to pay their taxes. And he is calling himself a king, which clearly is a challenge to the throne of Rome.
Yeah. So all three false, all three lies. I mean, certainly there were some problems being made by Jesus, because he's making true claims about who he really was as the Messiah. But it's not Jesus that's causing the problems. It's the religious leaders of the day that's causing the problems. It's them, you know, bringing these claims against him and saying, you know, challenging him in front of the people and challenging the people to come up against him. And so all three of these claims, different than the ones during the illegal night trial that took place. Now they bring him to Pilate, and they're giving him these three different claims than what they had given a little bit earlier in the evening.
Criticism is such an ironic thing, because criticism typically doesn't reveal much about the person being criticized, but it reveals a lot about the person that is criticizing. And many times we project on others the motives that we would have given the same conditions or opportunities.
Yeah.
And so what we're learning is a whole lot about the about the deviousness, about the wickedness of these rulers by the way they're handling this situation.
Yeah.
Verse 3, the Bible says, and Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, thou sayest it. So listen, I'm not going to say yes or no. I didn't say that. You said it.
Yeah.
You said it.
It's the same thing he had done the night before.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Right, right.
Verse 4, then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. Now, again, my friends, you really have to take the other parallel accounts into view here to understand the panorama. But there's a reason why Luke only included this. So he didn't want to make a big deal about, you know, what the question and answer time was with Pilate. He just wanted us to know, at least in Luke's gospel, that, you know, Pilate had done some due diligence here and he didn't find any fault. Pilate saw through it. Pilate was used to dealing with these guys. He knew it was some kind of a local beef, some kind of a religious matter, and he just did not want to be bothered by any of it.
Yeah, yeah, he wasn't going to have part in it, and so I find no fault in this man.
His big concern, especially at the feast times, was to make sure that there was no rioting, that there was, you know, that there was peace, because it's only as there's riot and rebellion that his job is going to come into jeopardy. He is just, his job at all costs is just to keep the peace, especially during these times of like Passover, which is celebrating leaving Egypt, getting out from underneath the bondage of a foreign entity. You know, so this is a time when the Jewish nation's thinking about, we want out from Rome, we want our Messiah, we're sick and tired of it. So Pilate gets all that.
Yeah, yeah.
So
but
he
it's interesting because his response kind of infuriated them a little bit more there in verse number 5, and they were the more fierce, right? And so now they get a little bit more upset, and they start to bring up these
but they're really playing to Pilate's they're playing to Pilate's fears.
Yeah.
You know, they got mad and said, you know, what are you saying? This guy's stirring up the people.
Right.
You're not gonna do anything
right
about it?
Yeah.
What are you going to do about this?
Yeah,
you're going to do anything? You call yourself a leader? What are you going to do about this?
Mm-hmm.
This injustice to the Roman government. Come, don't you care?
Yeah.
I mean, think about how they're playing this.
Yeah.
Verse 6, and when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. I find that so hilarious.
Yeah.
So what did Pilate know so far? He knew that Jesus was innocent.
Mm-hmm.
What did he know? He knew that this would, for whatever reason, Jesus had really gotten up the dander of these religious leaders. Pilate knew, oh man. So when he found out that the Tetrarch of Galilee was at Jerusalem there for the feast. Herod is the son of Herod the Great, Herod Antipas. This is the same Herod that had put John the Baptist to death, is there. You know, Pilate's viewing that as, oh, I'm off the hook. You know, I'm going to pass the buck.
Yeah, it goes back to your point of him kind of placating everybody that's there. Oh, I'm going to, you know what, let's just let somebody else deal with this. He doesn't have to deal with this, yet he can keep the peace, even of the religious leaders that are now getting upset because he kind of said, eh, I don't see any fault in him.
So he's dealing with a really conflicted conscience now, isn't he?
Yeah.
For a couple different reasons. Number one, he sees the game.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a politician. He gets it. Number two, he's already been warned by his wife that this Jesus is innocent. You better not mess with it. If you mess with this thing, it's not going to be good.
Yeah.
Number three, you know, he understands that there's really not a way out other than for these religious leaders to, somebody's going to look bad.
Mm-hmm.
So when he found out, man, someone else can make the hard decision, they can take the heat from the religious leaders.
He was
more than willing to kick that can down that
road. Yeah. Because anytime that I can pass the buck and make somebody else make the decision and, you know, make somebody else look bad, then that's what I'm going to do. It really comes back to what we talked about with Peter, an issue of pride. And this is what I'm just going to pass it. I'm going to let somebody else deal with it.
Are you in a situation, my friend, today where, as far as the truth of the matter, as far as what needs to be done in black and white on paper, it's pretty clear. So for Pilate, what needed to be done, black and white on paper, take the emotion out, was very clear. The man's innocent, let him go. And Pilate knew that. But it was more complicated than that. He wanted to please everybody. Mm-hmm. He wanted everybody to be happy. So he kept on playing the game until finally he played himself right into a corner from which he could not extricate himself. Mm. That's always what happens. When you try to please men, you put yourself in a trap. The fear of man bringeth the snare.
Yep.
And he just trapped himself, didn't he?
Yeah. And you know, when so many of us, we are people pleasers. We want to please people. And to a certain extent, that's not a bad thing. When we you know, want to make sure that we're shining the light of Jesus and that we're giving the gospel and that we want to help people find that. So to a certain extent, pleasing another human being is not a bad thing. But when that becomes my drive and my motivation and my goal behind everything that I do, and I'm afraid to speak the truth in love, and I'm afraid to biblically confront someone with the goal of restoration in mind in the end, then people pleasing is a bad, bad thing. And that's where we find Pilate right now.
Yeah, and ultimately this is going to trouble his conscience in a really, really big way.
Yeah.
I'll say this just in closing, and that is, if you ever go to Caesarea, what's called Maritima, which is Caesarea by the sea, maritime sea, as opposed to Caesarea Philippi, you'll find the palace for the Roman governor. So whether that was Pilate here or later on Felix and Festus, the place where Paul was imprisoned, they found an inscription there, archaeologists did, which referenced Pontius Pilate and the accuracy of the Bible. And that's what Israel is. It's a place in which the rocks cry out. You dig and you find, and when you dig and you find that the word of God in the details is true.
Yeah.
And so you can put great stock in what all the Bible says, my friends, but especially what these verses say about Jesus, because this, my friend, is the gospel. He's dying, he'll be buried, and then he'll rise again. I hope you'll stay with us. We've got a couple more episodes in the book of Luke. I'm looking forward to finishing strong. Hope you have a great day in the Lord, my friends. God bless.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.